Well, good evening. So as you, Father, mentioned, we're in this second weekend on a series on prayer. And so I'm not going to necessarily talk about the scriptures, but in this gospel, there is something about prayer here because they wanted to go spend time with Jesus. And it says they spent the afternoon with him. They spent the day with him. And that boils down to what prayer is. Prayer is spending time with the Lord Jesus, conversing with him, asking him questions, listening to him. And so that is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to complete or get to part two of the series on prayer. Jesus, we started with this idea that Jesus always wants to spend time with us. He always does. And I want to also begin by reminding us of something Father said last week that is so central to whenever we talk about prayer, and that is that our Catholic faith, at its foundation, at its core, is a loving relationship with God. That's really what it's all about. It's not just following rules. It's not just doing and living a certain way. It is a relationship with God. And so prayer is the way that that relationship is maintained and the way it's deepened. And so prayer, if you think of it that way, prayer is not just one of many things we do as Catholics. It's the essential thing. Because if our faith is about a relationship with the Lord, and the way we build and maintain and have that relationship is through prayer, then we must pray. It's as essential as eating. I'm sure that none of us have to be reminded to eat, right? We get hungry and we just eat. But our spiritual hunger is for the Lord. And we must eat. It's the way we maintain our connection with Christ. In John chapter 15, there's that beautiful image of Jesus as the vine and we're the branches. We have to be connected. That's the only possible way to bear fruit. We have to be connected. And again, prayer is that connection with the Lord Jesus, where we receive his very life, and then we're able to go and bear fruit. Paul says in Romans that we don't know how to pray as we should. And so I want to talk today about what does a prayer time look like? What are the essential elements? What are the things that should be in a prayer time? Now, the Catechism speaks about these five different elements: intercession, thanksgiving, praise, adoration, and contrition. You don't have to memorize them, but I encourage you, if you want to, look them up in the Catechism. I'll say them again at another point, but it's not as complicated as it sounds. These are elements that should be present in any deep and ongoing relationship. So intercession, for example, is asking God for things. And in any relationship, that's a pretty normal part of it, asking each other for things. But for many of us, that's kind of where prayer ends. I know for me, for many years, my prayer consisted of asking God for stuff, begging God for things, especially when I was in desperate need. And that's fine and that's good. We should be asking God, our Heavenly Father, who wants to give us good things. We should ask. But prayer is much, much more than just asking for things. So we need to go beyond intercession and asking for things to thanksgiving. We should always begin a prayer time by thanking God for all that he's given us. We should speak about the greatness of God. We should praise him. That's the praise portion of this. We should tell God that we love him. That's the adoration part. And we should tell him when we're sorry that we've done something wrong. That's the contrition. So thanksgiving, intercession, praise, adoration, and contrition. Again, these are all things that you'd find in a healthy relationship. Especially think of the analogy of a husband-wife. We need to speak highly of the other person. We need to praise them. We need to tell them that we love them. We need to tell them we're sorry when we do something wrong. So again, you see, the relationship is the central thing, and these are the elements of a good relationship, of good communication within a relationship. And then the Catechism also talks about the ways we can express ourselves in prayer. And it has these two kind of broad categories: vocal prayer and mental prayer. Now, vocal prayer is a lot like what it sounds like. It's generally praying out loud or speaking out loud, but it's also speaking the established and memorized prayers of the church. Things like the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, the St. Michael prayer, the Angelus, and all kinds of other great prayers. It's the way we use our senses. You know, we're human beings, we're body, we're soul. We have to use our bodies when we pray. And so if you can pray out loud, that's great. But even if you speak the words kind of in your mind and maybe your lips are moving, like if you remember the beginning of Samuel, that's his mother was doing that in the temple and the priest thought she was drunk, speaking, her lips were moving, but there's no words coming out. But it's vocalizing these elements that I spoke about, because it's not enough to just think these things. You know, those of us who are married will understand what I'm about to say, right? Especially some men here. I'm not going to accuse any of you of anything. Sometimes, as a man, I've been accused of not expressing myself enough, not telling my wife I love her, not speaking good things about her. We can't just think those things. We have to speak them to the other person out loud, because everyone needs to hear. The other person needs to hear. We need to hear. It is a declaration of the reality of the way things are. A great way to do this with the Lord is to speak and pray some of the Psalms. You can almost pick any Psalm and you'll see these elements of thanksgiving. You know, some of the Psalms begin with, I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. There are Psalms that begin and have portions of them, I love you, Lord, my strength. There are Psalms that talk about asking God for things. So speaking the Psalms, this is a very long tradition in the church, especially if you are familiar with the Liturgy of the Hours, speaking the Psalms, praying those Psalms out loud. This is vocal prayer. It's using our senses to speak the truth about God, to adore him, to praise him, and to thank him. But as good as vocal prayer is, and for me personally, I begin my time of prayer every day with this vocal prayer, saying the prayers of the church. But the Lord wants us to go even deeper into what the Catechism calls mental prayer. There's stages of mental prayer. There's meditation and contemplation. But just think of it as transitioning from the spoken prayers of the church to going deeper with the Lord, to really entering into a conversation with him, to listen, and a time of great listening. In the history of the church, we have this practice that many of you I bet are familiar with called Lectio Divina. And it sounds very fancy. It's a Latin phrase. But again, don't let the Latin terminology think it's something that only certain people can do. All it is praying and speaking to the Lord through the use of the scriptures. Because the scriptures really are the primary way that the Lord will speak to us. It's praying with the scriptures as a way of entering into the presence of the Lord and hearing his voice. It's the normal way that God speaks to me. I hear the Lord speak to me primarily through the scriptures. And we're supposed to read in Lectio Divina. I'm not going to go through exactly how you do this. It's another one of those things you can look it up, and there's certain steps you can go through. But they contain these elements that I was just talking about, the thanksgiving and the adoration, and praise and intercession. But we start with a scripture passage and we meditate on it. Another word for meditate that I prefer is to ruminate. The word ruminate, we don't use that too often. It comes from the fact of certain animals, when they eat food, like cows, they have multiple stomachs, and they eat something and they chew on it for a while and they swallow it and then they, well, regurgitate it and chew it up some more. And they do this over and over until it's fully digested. That's where we get the word ruminate from. We can do that with the Word of God. We can read a scripture passage, and we can meditate and think and chew on it over and over and over again until we draw from it the nutritional value of God speaking to us. And we ask as we read, this is not an academic study of the scriptures. There's a place for that. This is where we are really sitting with the Lord and meditating on what is God saying to me. That's the focus, that's the reason. It's not really to learn something academic, it's what is the Lord saying to me? And in this practice, the church, in the tradition of the church, we're called to use both our intellect and our imagination as we meditate on these scripture passages. So for example, and there's a passage in Luke's gospel where Jesus calls St. Peter after the great catch of fish. We're all familiar with this, where Peter labors all night, doesn't catch anything, and the Lord says, throw your nets out on the other side. And so Peter does that and catches the fish, and he falls down before the Lord and says, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. It's an encounter of conversion. I had an occasion where I was meditating on that scripture over and over and over again. And it, in my imagination, I was in the scene. That's what you're supposed to do. Put yourself in the scene of the gospel and think about what it would be like to be there. And I imagined myself like Peter, laboring and nothing's happening. And the Lord Jesus comes and tells me to do something and I do it. And there's this miracle that occurs. And I realize how empty I am without Christ. And anyway, in my imagination, it was an encounter with the Lord. And that's what this Lectio Divina practice is supposed to lead to, an encounter with the Lord. Now, it helped a little bit that I was having that meditation while I was on the Sea of Galilee on a trip to the Holy Land. That always helps to have the right environment. But that's what the meditation is all about. Place yourself in the scene of the scriptures and imagine you're there, and what would Jesus say to you and what would you say to him? It's also good to use our intellect a little bit. As I said, it's not a study, but sometimes learning a few things about the background of a scripture can open up a whole new way of God speaking to you. In the parable of the prodigal son, you know, one of the things that's important to know is in those days, if you were rich and powerful, you didn't move very much. People brought things to you and people came to you. That's just a piece of information that you can acquire through some study. So in the end of that story, when the father, the rich, the wealthy, the powerful one, gets up and runs to his son, that has a powerful meaning to it that I didn't know until I knew some things. So again, a little bit of intellectual study, a little bit of learning, and God, again, the whole point of it is God wants to speak to you. And in that case, God is speaking about the power of his love for all of us, that he's willing to run to us. So we engage our imagination, we engage our intellect, and then we contemplate. We spend time in absolute silence trying to hear what the Lord is saying to us through this scripture passage. It's really a time of listening. What is God saying to me? And I want to say a few things about this because it really is an acquired skill. It doesn't come naturally to us. First of all, to be silent, to take times of silence. But secondly, to really learn to listen and discern the voice of God. You know, we hear people all the time say, well, God said this to me. We may hear a preacher say that. We may hear the people in the scriptures, God spoke to them. It really wasn't an audible voice all the time. I mean, that would be great, right? That's one of the ways that God can speak to us. We could hear an audible voice. It's never happened to me. I don't know if it's ever happened to any of you here. It's happened to some of the saints. But I would say it's not the normal way that God's going to speak to us. But it's great. If he does, that's wonderful. Many times for me, and I would bet for many of you, if we take this time of silence, there'll just be this still, small voice where a thought will collect in our minds. Perhaps we're reading this passage about the prodigal son. And this thought comes to us of the power of God's, the Father's love for me. Just that small voice in my head, as I'm thinking, that thought just collects in me. And in that time of prayer, it very likely is the Lord speaking to me through that scripture, but it's in my mind by the collection of my thoughts. Sometimes when I'm praying, there's a phrase that will just come right into my mind, seemingly out of nowhere. And I have to test and see, is that really the Lord? This happened to me about 4 years ago. I had been planning to go on a trip over to Spain to walk on the Camino for about 10 days. And standing right here by the altar one time when we were celebrating the liturgy, I heard this phrase popped into my head out of nowhere, do the whole thing. And I actually didn't even know what was meant by that. And I pondered it for a while, do the whole thing. It turned out that after some discernment and more prayer and talking, the Lord was telling me to do the entire pilgrimage, which ended up being about 6 weeks. So that can happen. We should expect that there are times when we have this silence, when we've done some lectio and we've prayed and we're just listening, a phrase or a sentence or a word can pop into your head. This is what the scriptures sometimes call a word of knowledge. Be open to that. Be prepared that God can speak to you through that. Sometimes just the scripture itself will come to life. I've had times when I'm reading the Bible. One time I was reading Romans chapter 12, and there's a verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. That scripture literally jumped off the pages and entered into my heart. And I think many of us have had that experience where we're reading the scriptures and one little phrase or one sentence will jump out and capture us. That's the Lord speaking to us. So these are four different ways that the Lord has spoken to me, and it's throughout the history of the church, the great saints. And don't be overwhelmed when when we read about the saints, we often think that they always heard audible voices. Well, I think most of the time, the normal way God spoke to them was through their time of prayer and silence and listening, and the Lord desires to do the same for all of us. A couple of final suggestions. How do we know it's God speaking to us and not just our own mind playing tricks on us? A couple of things I would suggest in these times of prayer. Always write down what you think you're hearing. So it's great to keep a journal. I never used to do this. I do it now because it's so important. So if you think this thought collects in you, or a phrase pops out, or a scripture, write it down. And discern and chew on that and think about that. And the bigger the word was, the more discernment is required. If it's a general word about the Lord just encouraging you in your job or in your vocation, in your marriage, the Lord speaking a word of encouragement that you need to love your children more or whatever, not a lot of discernment is needed because we all know we need to do that. But if it's a word that you sense the Lord's speaking to you about changing some direction in your life, take time and discern. Is this really the voice of God? And don't be afraid to take chances. You know, I love the story of St. Francis of Assisi. If you remember, he was praying one day and he heard an audible voice in the chapel of San Damiano. A voice said to him, "Rebuild my church." You guys remember this story. "Rebuild my church." And so he went out and bought the materials, the mortar, the stone, and he rebuilt the church. But that's not what God had spoken to him about. God wanted him to rebuild the church spiritually. And you know what? If we make a mistake doing what we think the Lord's called us to do and it's not exactly the right thing, that's okay. The Lord will correct and figure everything out and will grow through that process. So my brothers and sisters, God wants to enter into a much deeper relationship with all of us. It's not just for priests and bishops and deacons and religious. Every single one of us, the Lord Jesus wants to enter into a deeper, more profound relationship of love with each one of us, and it happens through prayer. And next week we're going to hear more about some practical ways we can develop this prayer time. But in the meantime, just realize this: the Lord loves you and has a plan for you and wants to call you deeper into union with him through times of prayer. Amen.